Welcome to the 14th installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion continues with the laws of idolatry and contains 14 commandments, all prohibitions relating to idolatrous practices. The first six commandments of today's portion are all prohibitions concerning the Macy's. As you will remember, in yesterday's portion we learned about a Madiach. This is a person who incites other people to worship idols. Should he succeed in causing a large number of people, either an entire city or the majority of a city, to worship idols, he is known as a Madiach and is covered under prohibition number 15. Should he incite individuals, however, to worship idols, he is called a Macy's. And the prohibition against engaging in such conduct is learned in prohibition 16 from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13, from which all of the following six prohibitions are learned. This prohibition 16 applies even if the one who is a Macy's was not successful in his attempts, and the people he spoke to did not worship idols. The mere attempt to make them worship idols is punishable by death. And as the Rambam quotes the Sifri as saying that the one who was approached should be the first one to inflict the death penalty, that he is put to death by skila, by stoning, and the one who is the intended victim should be the one to do the execution. Prohibition 17 is a prohibition to have love for this Macy's. As the Sifri says, that we have a commandment of loving a fellow Jew, v'yahavta l'recha kameicha. So you might think that even this person you must also have love for. Therefore, we have a special prohibition that you are not to show him love, lay seva lay, do not love him. And so too other severe measures, prohibitions are intended against this person who is inciting one to idol worship. Prohibition 18 is to continue, we are not allowed to forget our hatred for this Macy's. That, as again from the Sifri, that even in a case of someone you have hate for, we are commanded, Azev Tazev Imei, you must certainly help them out. And you might think the same thing should apply to this Macy's. Therefore we have a verse, V'lotzish Me'elav, you should not listen to him. Which is interpreted as not forgetting your hate for this Macy's. Prohibition 19 is in a similar vein. This time, the one who is the intended victim is forbidden from saving the Macy's when he is in a dangerous situation. As the Rambam brings the explanation that we have a verse, Leisamed al dam reyecha, do not stand idly by while your brother's blood is being spilled. So you might think the same thing applies to this one. Therefore the verse tells you, Leisocheseimcha, do not have pity upon him, that even should he be drowning in the river or so on, a similar case, you are prohibited from saving him. And so too prohibition number 20, that in the court case, the one who is the intended victim is not allowed to give any explanations which could acquit this Macy's, either to mention an idea which the defendant himself could use, and certainly for him himself to give arguments which would lead to an acquittal. He is strictly forbidden from doing. V'lei sachmal, says the verse. You should not, again, have pity upon him. As our sages determined, this means you must not learn any favorable arguments on his behalf. Prohibition 21 is the final prohibition relating to this Macy's. That you are required not to hold back anything which would make him guilty. That if you have an idea, and this again applying most particularly to the intended victim, should he have some evidence which would lead him to the execution, to his being convicted, he is prohibited from withholding such information. As the verse says, V'lei sechasa alav, do not cover him over. And as our sages explained, it means that should you have any evidence or arguments which would lead to his execution, you are forbidden from withholding them. The next four prohibitions from today's portion deal with prophets. Prohibition 26 speaks about someone who prophesizes in the name of an idol. This could be in two ways. One way could be that he claims that God sent him to issue a prophecy in the name of a certain idol. A second manner could be that he says the idol itself spoke to him, such as the Baal or the Yesheder, the tree which was worshipped, and claims that this idol told him that he must be worshipped in a certain fashion and so on. Should someone issue a prophecy in the name of an idol, he is violating this prohibition 26, and his penalty is death by strangulation. And as the Rambam tells us, as we have explained on other occasions, that every prohibition must have not only a verse delineating the prohibition itself, but another verse giving the punishment. In this case, we have only a verse for the punishment, and we have to look to find out where the actual prohibition comes from. And the Rambam finds the source for this in a verse, V'shem Elokim Acherim Lo Saskiru, that you should not mention the name of idols. And although this verse is used for other prohibitions as well, the Rambam explained in the 14th of his introductory principles that you could have a verse which could serve as a prohibition for many different violations, as long as they all have separate punishments, separate verses indicating the punishment. Another prohibition associated with this prophecy in the name of an idol is prohibition number 28. Normally, the way one finds out if a person is a true prophet or not is in one of two ways. First of all, if an existing prophet that we know is a prophet says that this person is also a prophet, we accept this statement immediately and he is treated as a prophet. If there is no one to testify that he is, then he himself must show certain signs. He must predict the future, as the Rambam explains in Hilchos Yoseida Teda, in the fundamental laws of Torah, that one asks him to predict the future, and should he predict the future exactly, then we know he is a prophet after having done so a number of times. This is in the case of a person who says he is prophesizing in the name of God. However, if a person prophesizes in the name of an idol, in this case we are prohibited from asking him for any sign. We are prohibited from asking him for any proofs. And this is prohibition number 28. If approached by someone issuing such a prophecy, the steps we should take are as follows. First, we give him hasra. We warn him that if he continues to give this prophecy, then we will testify against him in the Jewish court, and he will be punished. Should he continue to issue his prophecy, then we go to court, we testify, and he is given his punishment, as we explained in the last commandment, put to death by strangulation. Prohibition 27 is related to these prohibitions. This is the prohibition against issuing a false prophecy. What is a false prophecy? There are two different kinds of false prophecy. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there are three different types of prophets who are put to death by the Bezdin, by the court. One of them is, as we mentioned previously, someone that issues a prophecy in the name of an idol. The other two both come under the category of Prohibition 27, of a false prophet. What is a false prophet? One example could be, he was a prophet claiming that he was spoken to by God, where in reality he was not spoken to, and therefore his prophecy is false since it had never been said. And another category is even if the prophecy had been said, but to someone else, and he claims that God spoke to him, he is also a false prophet. Although the prophecy itself might be true, since it was not said to him, he is making a false statement. The punishment for this is chenek, strangulation as well. And all of the laws of these three commandments are discussed in the 11th chapter of the Tractate Sanhedrin. Prohibition 29 is closely related to the law of a false prophet. This is not to be afraid of a false prophet. As we mentioned, the punishment is strangulation for a false prophet. However, we might be intimidated by a person claiming such holiness and claiming to have direct contact with Hashem, that we would be reluctant to issue testimony and to judge him by death, since he is making himself out to be so holy. Therefore, the verse tells us in Deuteronomy, Leisogur mimenu, do not be afraid of him. And as the Sifri explains, this means, do not be afraid to give evidence which will have him be declared guilty and have him be put to death. This commandment, the Rambam says, he has explained in his introduction to the Mishnayos, which incidentally, in addition to giving many basic principles regarding prophecy, also is an essential introduction to the whole idea of the Oral Torah and the whole idea of its transmission from Mount Sinai to the present day. Prohibition number 14 is the prohibition of taking an oath in the name of an idol. As we learn in the book of Exodus, V'shem Elokim Acherim Lo Saskiru, do not mention the name of false gods. We have many different statements of our sages, and as the Rambam quotes a few of them, that this prohibition has two facets to it. One is that the Jew himself is prohibited from making an oath or a vow in the name of an idol. Secondly, he is forbidden from making a non-Jew also come to swear in the name of an idol. As an example is given, if one has a court case with a non-Jew, and by forcing the non-Jew to swear, he will swear in the name of his idol, we are forbidden from forcing him to swear, since we were also causing a mention of the name of the idol, and since the non-Jew himself is also forbidden to worship this idol, we are not allowed to have him mention the name. Should this be a question of actual halacha l'maisa, however, a practical question, one should ask a proper, qualified rov, since there are some mitigating factors which might have us determine that this particular non-Jew's religion would not technically be considered idol worship. Therefore, a rov should be asked. The punishment for a violation of this prohibition is lashes. And although the Tractate Sanhedrin says that all other prohibitions regarding serving the idol, such as hugging it or cleaning in front of it and so on, all are prohibited, one would not incur lashes for any of them. Only issuing a false oath or a false vow would bring lashes to the one who is issuing this vow. Some other more commonly encountered cases which touch on this violation are discussed in the Tractate Sanhedrin, which says, for example, a person may not say, wait for me by such and such of an idol, or such and such a church, for example. One is not allowed to utilize this idol for such a purpose. And furthermore, in his legal code, the Rambam says that even to mention the name of the idol is itself forbidden, unless the name of the idol is mentioned in Chumash or something similar. Then one would be allowed to say it in a number of contexts, but in general, to mention the name of an idol is strictly prohibited. The last three prohibitions from today's portion deal with specific types of idol worship. Prohibition number 8 is the prohibition to engage in the oiv, the maisa oiv, which is a type of idol worship. What was the idea of the oiv? There were two different ways that Rambam explains in his legal code in which a person could use this oiv. The purpose of the oiv was to answer questions that a particular person might have. And he would go to someone who was skilled in this maisa oiv, who would proceed to burn incense, and then do various strange sorts of acts, such as the Rambam mentions in his legal code, taking a stick of myrtle branch, and waving it around, and doing other sorts of things, and then speaking all sorts of incantations. And afterwards, the person would imagine a voice coming from underneath the ground, a very low voice, which would answer their questions. And so too, another way would be taking a skull of a person. And again, after offering incense and incantations, the person would imagine that a voice would come from under his armpit, giving him the answer to the question which he asked. As explained in Maximit Torah, that it would speak from under the arm. Another type of idol worship, which is mentioned in proximity to this prohibition of oiv, is Maisa Yideini, which is prohibition number 9. This is called Yideini because of the name of a bird, known as a Yideya, and one would do this form of idol worship using a bone from this bird. One would take the bone from this Yideya and place it in one's mouth. This was the one who would actually be doing this form of idol worship. He would place it in his mouth, and then he would burn incense and start speaking various words and doing various sorts of strange acts until he would fall to the ground as if in a trance, and then would start making predictions about the future after having fallen down. Although one is forbidden from asking anything from somebody who involves himself in these forms of idol worship, these two prohibitions are directed towards the one who is actually doing the idol worship and doing these predictions. The prohibition about going to them to seek advice is our separate prohibitions, which we will discuss later, God willing, in the coming classes. The Rambam in this commandment deals with the technical question of how to count these as different commandments. And quoting the verse, which says, "Al tifno el ha'oyves ve'el ha'yidenim," do not turn to the oyves and the yidenim. The oyves is referring to prohibition 8, which we mentioned, and the yidenim is prohibition number 9. One might think that it should only count as one mitzvah, and we cannot count it as two separate mitzvahs, since they are lumped together in one verse. However, the Rambam says we should not make such a mistake, that since the verse mentions them both separately when giving the punishment, which is death, then we see that since both are singled out when the death penalty is given, we see that they are separate commandments. And as the Rambam quotes the Sifri, tracing one of these verses for the prohibition and the other verse for the punishment. The final commandment of today's portion is prohibition number 7, which involves another specific type of idol worship, that of the Melech. What was the Melech? This was an idol which was served at the times of when the Torah was given. And it would be worshipped in the following manner. First of all, a great fire would be made and built up until it became a great burning inferno. Then a person would take some of his children, not all of them, but either one or a number of his children, and give it over to the priest of this particular type of idol. Then the priest, according to the Rambam, would hand it back to the father, and the father would then run through the fire carrying the child. The child was not burned, although this was done in other forms of idol worship, where the children were actually burned and sacrificed to the idol. In this particular worship of Melech, the children were not burned. Rather, they were carried through the fire. Although all forms of idol worship are prohibited, this one was singled out, and actually two verses are given prohibiting this idol worship of Melech. All three of these prohibited types of idol worship, the ones which have been singled out, Oiv, Yidaini, and Melech, all of them have the same punishment. As the Rambam tells us, that should one transgress unintentionally worship of one of these idols, he must bring a chatas kavua, a sin offering. Should he do it intentionally, and there are witnesses for it, he is punishable by death of skila, of being stoned. Should there be insufficient testimony to actually carry out the death penalty, then they incur kores, or excision of the soul. The details of these commandments are discussed in the 7th chapter of Sanhedrin. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichos in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.